Okay, Brother Reese is going to come and preach for us now. Pray for them. They're going to have to scoot out of here pretty fast after the service today. They've got a plane to try to catch. So, God bless you.
Man, it's a privilege to be here again. There's only ever can be one Liberty Baptist Church for us. It's a very special place. And we're thankful we were able to make it. We hope we make it back so we can make it back again. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 today. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at some sure promises of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read, we'll start in verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's pray before we continue. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for safety and getting us all here today. Pray that if there are any others trying to make it, that you give them safety on the roads and the traveling going on this afternoon. We pray that you would be with us and Lord, help us to glorify and magnify you in our lives. Pray that you would speak to us from your word today. Teach us more about yourself. And Lord, we ask that you would come and do your work among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews 11, verses 11 through 16, here we read about a group of people that were the descendants of Abraham through Sarah, through Isaac, the seed of promise. And it says in verse 11, she judged him faithful who had promised. What had he promised? We know that the Bible says, according to the time of life, next year you're going to have a son. When Sarah was, by any estimation, an old lady. That verse 11 reminds me of chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, the promised. And so if we have a promise of God, we have a responsibility to show our faith in that promise by acting upon it. We see with these people in Hebrews chapter 11, that if they had a promise of God, if they believed it, they did something about it. And that's why we know about it. If you believe something in your head, if you read it in a book and you say, I agree with that, I think it's true, but it doesn't change how you act, it makes us wonder, did you believe it? If someone said that there was a hole in the road and you just kept driving, well, you probably didn't believe it. So, I want to focus most of our time here on verse 13 of Hebrews 11, and we'll just ponder some things about these people who believed in the promises of God and how it affected them. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith. Oh, that's a nice way to start. they died. Okay, that's a positive thing, I guess. But the outstanding thing about how they died was that they died in faith. Sometimes you might see an obituary in a paper, and the first thing that it puts is the place. It may say, Owosso or Greenville, or it gives the place where they died, and then it tells their name and their age, and maybe it will tell where they lived, but the first place it tells, often, is where they died. And here, we read in verse 13 that these all died in faith. That's where they were. If they had their obituary, the first word you'd see was faith. That was what stood out about it. And the reason that it says that they died in faith is by what they demonstrated in their life. And also, where you are when you die, just by nature of it, is somewhere that you stayed. If you had not stayed there, you wouldn't have died there. It's a very simple concept. But here it says that they died in faith, telling us that they had faith in God's promise, and they held fast to that. They kept believing it. It wasn't something that they went through an emotional thing that this sounds like a good idea, and then other busyness of life kind of took over. But their faith that they had in God's promise was something they stayed in till the day of their death. And of course, we know that we don't know when the day of our death is. So if you want to die in faith, you need to live in faith. And so we see that they died in faith. And then look at the next phrase, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. We could look at one of those promises in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus 1, 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I was thinking about that. Thinking, what is this referring to? When did he promise it before the world began? Well, I see right here, it tells me that he promised it before the world began. So even if I don't have another record of that, we know the Bible talks about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And Jesus, God and Jesus Christ had this plan since before we were even in existence to give us eternal life through the death of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. And that's a promise that God made to us. It says he promised it before the world began. So many people today don't acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge his word and his promises. But this is not a new thing that's come up by some religion. This is something that God promised before the world began. An eternal relationship with him, an eternal life with a particular condition, and that is if you have faith in his son. If you are given that life through Jesus Christ, through receiving him, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 12. So this is one of the many promises of God that we can have, and if we would study the promises of God, we could be on that for a while. But it says in Hebrews 11, the verse that we read, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I want to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. When we think about eternal life, as in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life, as Christians, is something that we have today. But, in 1 Peter 1, it talks about receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, and the salvation and the redemption of the body that is to come. We read about that in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 18. We have eternal life as Christians, but there's still some more of the promise to come that we're still waiting for. And we're thankful for that. We don't want to live forever in these bodies. I don't know about anyone else. I've been having some physical pain this week, just in my mouth and stuff, and I'm supposed to be young and energetic, and it makes me have empathy for those who live with aches and pains a lot. We don't want to live in these bodies forever. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's quite a statement. With math, you know, we can have less than, greater than, equal to. This says, the suffering of now compared to the glory that shall be revealed, it's not worth your time to try to compare it. That's how much greater it is. That's how much beyond our imagination the blessings of God are in the future, in heaven, in our eternal life with God. It says in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature also itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." You know, salvation, the free gift of eternal life, is something we accept and receive by faith. Because when you receive eternal life, you know, if you see someone else get saved and receive eternal life, they don't just automatically go to heaven right away. It's something that we still look for. It's something that we still hope for. If we saw it, then it wouldn't require that kind of faith, because people say seeing is believing. Seeing is seeing. Believing is believing. And so this is saying, if you see it, why are you still hoping? You know, if I would say, oh, I hope I can preach at Liberty Baptist Church, but I'm standing right here, do I not believe that I'm here? So if you have something that you have right now, you don't need to hope for it because you have it already. So this is saying we are waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. It calls it the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's going to be a blessing. To not be bound by this physical body that we carry around with us. It slows us down. So it says in Hebrews 11, verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." Seeing afar off, as in the future. So this is talking about, you know, all the children of Abraham through faith, who believed God's promises, and it's going to tell some things about how we see their faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 13, "Having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them." I want to focus on that first, real quick, in Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Romans 4, verse 21. This is talking about Abraham believing the promise that he would have children through Sarah. So I want to go back to verse 18, Romans 4:18. It says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." That was the promise of God, telling him that his seed would be as the stars of heaven. Verse 19, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I like that definition of faith. We have a definition of faith in Hebrews 11, being the substance of things hoped for. But here in Romans 4:21, I think that's a great definition of our faith in God, being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He's able also to perform. If God does not perform His promises, then He's a liar. Then it would be a mistake to believe in someone that does not do what they say they're going to do. So, to believe God's promises tells us that we believe something about God's character. Tells us that we believe that He's true. And it says He was fully persuaded. Makes me think of being fully committed when a person... they were talking about a trust fall recently. When you go off your own balance and totally rely on the other person, that you believe that if they said they'll catch you, they'll catch you. As, you know, having a human to trust in can be scary sometimes. when we fly, you know, I don't have any control over that airplane. So there's supposedly a person up in that room that's closed at the front. I can't even see him. You know, I don't know if he's drinking coffee or taking a nap or what, but when we're coming into land, my life is in God's hands, but it's also in another human's hands to control everything. And you have to be fully persuaded, if you're going to be at ease, that this guy's done his job and flying is still the safest mode of transportation, but there's a risk in being in a human's hands. But with God's hands, we can be fully persuaded, completely resting in His promises, that what He has promised, He is able to perform. Let's look over at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. As we consider the life of Paul, he's writing the epistle of 2 Timothy, as far as we know, the last epistle he ever wrote before he was killed. He had lived his life unto God. He said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The definition of his life was Christ. That's amazing. When someone thinks of us, do they think that we represent Christ in that way? And we could say that the way he manifested that living was Christ was in what he devoted his time and his energy to. That's a big part of it. And he said in verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Paul said that he knew who he believed. That's important. Our belief, our faith in Christ, is not a mental agreement with a fact. It's a knowledge of a person. And that is precious to us, because then we have Christ with us in the midst of anything that we go through. Paul was suffering things for the cause of Christ, but he wasn't ashamed. He did not regret the life that he chose in burning out for God, just completely getting used up, because he was persuaded that God's promises were true, and that God would honor His word. If we are fully persuaded, that might go a long way in helping us to go through suffering for the cause of Christ. We're going to continue right here in 2 Timothy 1, where the next phrase in our verse in Hebrews 11, it says, "They saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them." Look in verse 13. 2 Timothy 1:13. "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. It says that we keep it by the Holy Ghost, and that's a blessing, because our will, our strength is not enough to hold on to God's promises. But through the Holy Ghost, we can be fully persuaded and we can hold fast to His promises. The Wednesday before Stacy and I got married, Pastor Folk was preaching, and he went to Song of Solomon chapter 3, and I thought of this verse, Song of Solomon chapter 3, when I saw in Hebrews 11 about being persuaded and embracing the promises of God. Song of Solomon 3, we'll just read verse 4. Song of Solomon 3, 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. When she found what she was looking for, she grabbed on and would not let go. And you know, that's something that we need to do with the promises of God. If we're fully persuaded that that is our life, that we can trust what God's told us, then we need to hang on and, as it says, hold fast the form of sound words. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. So these all died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promises, not yet, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. And look what it says, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now we know, physically speaking, about the children of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob. Jacob ended up going back to Laban, and then they ended up traveling back, and then Jacob's children ended up all in Egypt, and eventually they made it back out to the Promised Land, and a lot of traveling went on physically, and in many cases they were strangers and pilgrims in the land that they were in. When they got to the Promised Land, it did not have a vacancy sign turned on. Everybody was already living there. They were the ones that were from out of town, and they had to make room as God had planned for them, because they were strangers. They didn't have a land until they got to the land that God had promised them. They're wandering in the wilderness for years. And in Egypt, that wasn't their land. And so it says they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We have a hard time picturing this, because we have such freedom and security and peace living in our land. But in World Survey, we at BBTI, we study different people groups, and when you read about a people group that has common, what they see, lineage and language and laws and lifestyle and land, okay, that's some concepts of what makes a nation of people. Except the problem for some of them is they don't have land. And you read about this people group. We have a card that has the people group name on it, what language they speak and all this stuff. And it tells where they're located. And as far as political boundaries, many people are just fragmented into all these different countries. And they don't have a place that they have to call their own. The Needham family in Cameroon, talking about a lot of the unrest that's going on, is there's people that want to be their own country, and they have their own flag and they have their own name, and they're going to fight until they have their own land that they can fly their own flag over. And they're seeking a country because they have an identity among themselves, and they don't want to be part of something else. They want to be themselves. So this is what we see about the children of Israel, and even today, the children of Israel are struggling to have their land. There's constant fighting, constant enmity against them. It says they declare plainly that they seek a country. And verse 15, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So we're thinking back, well, maybe they could go back to where Abraham came from, Ur of the Chaldees. But instead of going back to what they could have had physically, look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. You know, the world only has so much space on it, and last I checked, just about all of it's claimed. These people that want to have their own land, they're going to fight for it. It's going to be trouble and chaos because everything's already taken. There's no free parking. But these people that sought a country, they stopped looking on the earth. Said, it looks like everything's already claimed, but God has prepared for them a city. And that's not, found with physical GPS coordinates on this planet. But God's prepared something, and He's building something for those who are the children of God by faith, that we are going to have our place. And it says in verse 13, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It doesn't say they were strangers and pilgrims in Egypt or in Canaan or in wherever they ended up. They were just strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't belong here. And we don't really belong here either. We're thankful for the freedoms and the peace that we have and the ability to share the gospel of Christ. I like wearing the colors of PNG. That's a place that the Lord has put on my heart. And there's openness and freedom there to preach the gospel as well. And it's a blessing to have the, with our adoption, just a very warm welcome and being given a place. But we have to remember, even though, I kind of feel in between, maybe, the United States, Papua New Guinea, other places that I've been, but I'm supposed to be a stranger everywhere I go on the earth, because God has prepared for me a heavenly country and a city. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So, in the midst of, some pain, the Bible talks about groaning and travailing in pain, and in the midst of unrest on this earth, we need to remember, if we truly believe God's promises, to seek that city to come that He's prepared for us, and not be too attached to where we find ourselves right now, because we're strangers and pilgrims here. We have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come.